This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Now I request our next speaker, Brother Mansoor Danish, owner, trustee, and head of the research department of Al-Islamic International Foundation, Kolkata, to say a few words and share his vision for your fine time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala ashrafil anbiya al-mursaleen Nabiina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsan ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Fa'auzu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Brothers, sisters, ulama ikram, and respected guests, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, I'm not going to speak few words. I'll take some more time, inshallah. Okay. At the outset, I would first of all like to thank ICRA International School for inviting me over here. Jazakallahu khairan. May Allah reward you all with good. It's very important that when we gather for such kind of meet, such kind of inaugural session, such kinds of conferences, Islamic conferences, that we start appreciating the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. If we look into our life, say a decade ago, 10 years back, we never had these kind of gatherings which were happening. We never had Islamic conferences happening. We never had weekend summer camps. We never had online summer camps. I was surprised that there is an organization in Canada which has organized online summer camp. We never had online universities. We never had online tajweed courses. We never had full-fledged Islamic schools. A decade ago, when I passed out my class 10 and my 12, we never had these facilities. Leave alone these facilities, we never even had the computer or the internet. And today, alhamdulillah, everyone's got a computer, everyone's got the internet, be it on the mobile phone or at home. And that makes it easy for you to access Islamic information. It makes it easy for you to listen to the lectures of your speakers who motivate you. And for all of this, it becomes imperative for us as Muslims to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is only when we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is only when we appreciate the blessings that Allah ta'ala has given us, will Allah bless us with more. So it is imperative for us at the outset that we start thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when we go back from here, we understand that what we have today is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are living in a time of great fitna. We're living in a time of great turmoil. Every day in the newspaper, we see there are information which are being bombarded against Islam. There are Islamophobes who are out there, who are there to malign the religion of Islam. In spite of all of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so many avenues for us to acquire knowledge of His deen. Which was, once again, as I repeat, we never had this a decade ago. I never had a computer at my place when I finished off my class 12. That was way back in 2000. Now, I come from Kolkata, Bangalore must be much advanced. But when I passed out my class 12, that was way back in 2000, I never had a computer at my place. In 2003, when I passed out my graduation, I didn't even have an internet at my house. So we've come a long way. And for this, we must appreciate the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And after appreciating the blessings that Allah has given us, now Allah ta'ala makes us responsible. With every blessing that Allah gives us, we must become responsible individuals. And today, as parents, it is your responsibility. You have a right as a parent upon your child to give them good Islamic education. Give them the best of Islamic knowledge. There's a very famous hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Rasulullah ﷺ said, seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. I'm sure all of you must have heard this hadith before.
Rasulullah said, seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. And that obligation and this responsibility begins right from the time a child is born. You know, we tend to think that when a child is born, this is time to enjoy, have fun, play with him. But believe me, wallahi, brothers and sisters, the seeking of knowledge, that obligation begins right from the time a child comes on the face of this earth. And it continues till the end of his life, till the time death overtakes him. So that obligation becomes right from the time a child is born. And that is why, as parents, when we do the hand-holding of our child when he is small, it becomes imperative upon us to ensure we give the best tarbiyah to our child. And how do you give tarbiyah to your child? How do you give tarbiyah? What is the mode that you use? The best form of tarbiyah that you can give to your child is that you introduce him to the Quran. There is no better way to educate your child of Islam but to introduce him to the Quran. The Sahabas would say, teach your child Quran early. Don't delay. You know, I met a family in Kolkata a few weeks ago, and the child is 3 years old. And so we were just inquiring, you know, have you started teaching him the Quran, verses of the Quran? So the lady said that no, not right now. He's still not 4 years old. Jab 4 saal ka hoga tab pehle shuru karenge. I didn't know where this concept comes from. Have you heard of any concept like this? There is no concept like this. You have to start teaching your child Quran from a very early age, because when you teach the child Quran from an early age, you are attaching him to the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you teach your child Quran, you have attached him to the speech of Allah. And when you attach him to the speech of Allah, you have attached him to Islam. Because the speech of Allah is nothing but Islam. That is Islam. So you need to attach your child to the Quran from an early age. And when you do that, this will give an impetus to your child to move forward in his life. You look into the life of the Sahabas. Who were the Sahabas? The Sahabas, before Islam came, in the ignorant period, these same group of people were regarded as the worst of people to have walked on the face of the earth. The Arabs, before Islam came, were the worst of people to have walked on the face of the earth. They were the asfal safili. No one wanted to rule the Arabs. Yet, when Islam came, and in fact, before Islam came, an Arab had no status in front of the Persians. You know, the Persian was the largest army of that time. And an Arab had no status in front of the Persian. Yet, when Islam came, when the message of Quran was instructed, the hearts of the people changed. People started believing in themselves. The same group of people who were regarded the worst of people, they became the Salaf Salihin. They became the best of people to have walked on the face of the earth. Why? What was it that changed them? That was Quran. That was Islam. Islam changed the Arabs. It made them the best of people to have walked on the face of the earth. And after the coming of Islam, one Arab was equivalent to 100 Persians. Look at the blessing that Allah has given in Islam. And yet, we have people amongst us, we have parents amongst us, who deprive their children of Islam. Normally, I have come across two bands of people. There is a middle way also, there are three. But generally, we see there are two bands of people. One is those parents who will give their child the best of dunya education. They'll put them in the best of school, whether missionary or non-missionary, but they will ensure it's the best of school so that they are able to get the best of education in history, geography, science, English. And then after they finish their 12, they will spend another 25-30 lakhs to admit them into a medical college. And after that is done, what happens after medical? Then the masters happen, the MD. And post-MD, then they'll send them to UK, do your FRCS and come back. They spend a lot of money on the child. But they do it at the cost of the deen. That's one group of people.
And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says this, and this is remarkable. He said this 800 years ago. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says that the worst thing that you can lead, the thing that leads the child astray is the excessive care and love of the parents. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says 800 years ago that excessive love and care takes the child away. Because when you give him excessive love and care, your child does not become a real man. He remains, you know, we have this system where the child gets so much of love and care and he's not given a time to blossom out. He remains within the four walls of the house. He stays, and a child who in Islam, a person, if he grows past the age of 10, he becomes a responsible individual. He's accountable for not reading the salah. He has to start fasting. But in Western world, we have this concept of adolescence, where till the time they do not cross their teen, they do not become men. Or till the time they don't reach 25, they don't become men. But in Islam, a man is at the age of 13 or 14. He becomes a man. You have to give him responsibility. The Sahaba would even discuss problems with their children. Why? Not that they expected great response, but it was to train them to start thinking. But we don't do that. We say a child is too small. Come the time of Ramzan, the child is not fasting. Why? Because he's too small. He's already 12 years old, but he's still small. When he's 16 years old and he's preparing for his board exams, don't fast. You've got your board exams tomorrow. If you fail, 1 year is gone. And if he fails, if he dies tonight, he will be answerable to Allah for not fasting. Allah will not question him what happened about your board exam. First thing Allah will ask, why did you not fast? It was an obligation. And we see parents not encouraging the child. We have children who are encouraged. They see their friends fasting. But parents, they discourage their child. I know of a family in Kolkata, the son is one of the best students in the school, but he comes to read the Juma Salah by lying at home. Because he says his parents don't allow him to even step out for Juma Salah. Astaghfirullah. Why? Because this is not your age to read Juma Salah. He's in class 12 now. This is not your age. We have this group. This is one extreme. The second extreme people is those who do not give even the education of deen and dunya. They don't give them any education. We find so many in our Muslim locality, anywhere in the world. Janab Nazir Ahmed Sahab was saying that it's not only India, it's the problem all over the globe. And that's absolutely true. Go to any Muslim locality, you will find that those who have no knowledge of deen, no knowledge of dunya, they are the ones who are the rapists, criminals, thugs. I'm very sorry to say that I'm coming from Kolkata, where in the last 2 months, two major rape cases have got Muslims involved in it. And this is no media. This is no media. These are people who are responsible. They did it. And when you look at the background, no deen, no education, no basic education, lacking even basic education, they can't even talk, and leave alone religion. This is the other extreme. In between these two extremes is what Islam offers. Islam says that you have to take both deen and dunya together. We live a life which is temporary. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. This life is a temporary life. Do we agree on this or not? Do you think that this life will go on? Do you think you're going to come back again? No. This is your temporary place of rest. In this temporary place of rest, this is about how many years? 60 years? You know, Nisa Nadia Dwala, the speaker from Islamic Research Foundation, he was giving me some nice statistics. He said, on an average, a man lives for 60 years. Average, you know, for calculation purpose. And in a day, on an average, a man would sleep for 8 hours, right? That means one third of the day he sleeps, which means one third of his life he sleeps. So 20 years of our life we sleep. Out of 60 years, 20 years we are sleeping. 40 years left. Let's see what we do. He says, 8 hours a day a child goes to the school. Person who's going to the office, on an average, he also works 8 hours a day, Saturday, Sunday included when he's not working. So which means another one third of your life, you are busy
in matters of dunya. Which means another 20 years of your life goes away. 40 years gone. This is a temporary life. There is an eternal life. We've already got rid of 40 years. We just got 20 left. Let's see what we do in these 20 years. On an average, an IPL cricket match is how long? 3.5 hours? Right? A movie is about 3 hours. Any kind of entertainment, 2 hours. Right? Serials on television, where it starts at what? Prime time, 7 o'clock to 11 o'clock, or whatever the times are. 3 hours, which means another 1/8 of your life goes in watching programs, entertainment. I don't want to get into the calculation further, but towards the end, we find we get just about 3 to 5 years of complete life to do ibadah. And do we do justice to that? Do we do justice to that? What do we do in those 3 to 5 years? Even in those 3 to 5 years, we miss our salah on time. We don't read our salah on time. Reading the salah on time is fard. It is important, compulsory. It can only be excused on an extreme case. And I don't want to get into detail because the scholars are there. But what I understand of the deen is that you can't miss your salah. Salah has to be read on time. It has to be read on time. It can't be delayed. We have a concept of qaza. Qaza karenge ghar jaake abhi office mein naukri kar rahe hain. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah. Come towards salah, come towards success. So what are we doing? We're doing our deal in our office, you know. I got a 6 crore deal to do. Hayya ala falah. No, I got to close my deal, 6 crore. Hayya ala falah. But there is no impact in our life. Why? Because we've gone away from the deen. We've not attached ourselves to the Quran and the Sunnah. And that is why, within these two extremes, we have what Islam offers us. Look into the life of the people who are around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who were they? You know, again, Janab Nazir Ahmed Shah was making a mentioning of how the Sahabas, they had hardly any clothes to wear. Their clothes had patches on them. Rasulullah's clothes used to have patches on them. Upon occasion, they used to tie stones around the stomach and go to sleep. This was their state. Yet, Islam changed them. Men like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, men like Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, men like Khalid ibn Walid, radiallahu anhum. What changed them? It was Islam which changed the life of these people. Khalid ibn Walid, radiallahu anhum, His father was Walid bin Mughira. He was a staunch enemy of Islam. All the planning which was done in the early years of Makkah against the Prophet ﷺ was done under the supervision of Walid bin Mughira. And the scholars of Islam who have studied his life, they say Walid was a great poet. He was educated. He was smart. He had every good thing which you want pertaining to the dunya. But Allah deprived him of the greatest blessings, and that was Islam. He had everything. He had wealth. He had children who were brave. People like Khalid bin Walid, people like Walid bin Walid. But Allah deprived him of Islam. And the scholars of Islam say that as if you have nothing with you of this dunya, and if you just have Islam, that is sufficient for you in Akhirah. So this temporary life, 60 years of life, of which 45, 50 years goes away in fun, the balance 10 years, we need to focus on preparing ourselves for Akhirah, eternal life. That's a very difficult calculation. So what do? We need to start from today. We need to start from our education. We need to start from an early age. Push your child to start reading the Quran from an early age. Get involved, get them involved. The Muslims are not involved. Unfortunately, like Umar Bhai was mentioning a while ago, we keep fighting amongst ourselves. We start naming ourselves. You know, whenever the school comes up, and we are facing this. Recently in Kolkata, a school was established, and we are facing the same kind of problems. Oh, which Jamaat do you belong to? Oh, which school of thought do you belong to? Or do you belong to any school of thought or not? You know? I wonder who takes the interview. You know, my mother is a teacher, and she tells me how parents come for interview in the school. But I hear from Umar Bhai and I hear from other people who are running school, how The parents come and interview the school. They come and interview the principal. Amazing. Amazing situation. You sending your child to an Islamic school for education of both deen and dunya. Yet you have a problem. You want to know which school of thought are they associated with? Remember this, my brothers and sisters. Our overriding identity is that we come from the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We are Muslims. That is our overriding identity. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَاَعْتَسِيمُ بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعُ وَلَا تَفَرَّقُ. Hold to the rope of Allah tightly. Hold it tightly. And be not divided amongst yourselves. And yet, the first thing that we utter is division. Meet a brother. Where are you from? Oh, I'm from India. Oh, you're from India? I'm an Arab. His blood is more redder than compared to the Indian. Meet another, come down to the nation-wise, you know. Where are you from? No, I'm from Lucknow. Oh, you're from Lucknow? I'm from Delhi. You know, Delhi is bigger. The kind of mentality that people have. Go within the state. Where are you from? Oh, I'm from the suburbs. Oh, you're from the suburbs? I'm from the city. You know, we are better than you. Muslims, this is our mentality. I'm telling you, I have interacted with people like this. And it's not a handful. It's a disease which is being found amongst many Muslims today. And then within locality, oh, which area do you stay in? Okay, you stay in those area, those posh locality. I stay in a particular Muslim locality, which no one visits unless they have to go and buy meat. Right? Because most of the meat is available in Muslim area. Look at the mentality. And then within localities, we have this masjid. Do you come from? Do you come from X masjid, Y masjid? Why do you go to X? Why don't you go to Y? Every word of ours which we utter is division. Let's come out of that. It's time we came out of it. It's time that we focus on the larger mission. The Sahabas would have differences, but those differences never led them to fight each other. They had differences. They would argue vehemently with each other. Yet, if they were convinced, they would take the word. They would not have an ego. So we need to shed off our ego. It's time that we realize that these missions that schools like Iqra International School have taken is to revolutionize the dunya. They are creating a band of people who inshallah ta'ala will not only be succeeding in matters of dunya, but will also become righteous Muslim. We need to support these organizations. You know, many a time when a new organization opens up, many a time when these organizations comes up, there are some people who sit back and they say, dekhte hain kitne saal chalega. Dekhte hain, abhi 2 saal to chalne do. Achha, 2 saal chal gaya. Abhi to shuru hai, abhi to maza aayega, abhi 4 saal chalne do. And what happens is, with this mentality, the school does not get support from the Muslim Ummah, and eventually the school shuts down. And then we say, humko pata tha samne wala. You know what? You are responsible for that. We always pass the buck. But believe me, it's time we took the responsibility for the state of the Ummah that we are in today. If a Muslim organization opens up to change the status of the Ummah, it is obligatory upon us to go and support them. We need to go out and support them. We can't sit back and watch out. You know, dekhte kitna din chalta hai, saal chalta hai. Can't have that attitude. That's not an attitude of a Muslim. That's not an attitude of a real man. Men like Khalid bin Walid, who stood for Islam. And look at us. At every drop of the hat, we want to shed off Islam from our life. So inshallah ta'ala, I would request each of you who are gathered here that you take up the initiative, support such organization. Imam Nazir Ahmad Sahab was saying how much he spent, and then he said that we are not looking for donation. But I say, and I'm not a spokesperson for Iqra, I've come all the way from Kolkata, and I'm speaking this as a Muslim, that it is important that you support such organization in any which way you can. Irrespective of whatever you can give. If you can give thoughts, give thoughts. If you can add value with money, do that. If you can give space, do that. This is what the Ummah needs. And inshallah, those children who will pass out from here, they will be a source of blessing for you on the day of Akhirah. These people will become a witness for you on the day of judgment. With these few words, I would like to make a dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the efforts of Iqra International School and all the other Islamic schools who are working with Ikhlas to change the status of the Ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who hold on to the Quran and the Sunnah in these times of fitna. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all united in this dunya, and may He reunite us all in Jannatul Firdaus. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.